Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Bourne. Coming up on this week's programme, we'll be speaking to NGO volunteer Brenda Castles, who is currently based on the Greek island of Lesbos. And Brenda will be giving us a first-hand account of the humanitarian crisis that is taking place in that part of Europe. We'll have a rundown of some of the European stories that have been making the headlines here in Ireland, and we'll have some wonderful European eclectic music for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. More EU students went to UCD in 2014 than from any other European country under the Erasmus programme. 6,622 students in total came to Irish educational institutions, an increase of almost 1,000 on the previous year, according to new statistics published recently. The University of Limerick topped the third level league table for Irish students studying in other European institutions, receiving just under €300 each per month from the EU. Ruth Deasy of the EU office in Dublin says France, Germany and Spain are the most popular destinations overall for foreign Erasmus students.
Well, in Ireland, the most popular college for students coming from abroad is UCD, followed by UCC, followed by Limerick, and then Trinity, and then DIT. And the colleges that are sending out the most students are University of Limerick, UCD, DIT, Galway, and Trinity, in that order.
The European Consumer Centre is warning people to think twice before signing up to free trials for the likes of dieting pills and beauty products. The centre says in most cases there is no such thing as a free trial, as consumers can find themselves trapped into costly subscription contracts. There was a 165% increase in the number of free trial complaints reported to ECC Ireland in 2013. Martina Nee of the European Consumer Centre in Dublin says there are a number of things one can do to avoid being scammed.
Check the trader's address, because sometimes these can be fake and the trader's actually based outside the EU. So do thorough research and also look for negative feedback. And if you think you've been caught by a scam, then you should contact the trader in writing immediately to indicate that you wish to cancel. And you can also contact your credit card provider, because you may be able to avail of this option called chargeback.
Ireland recorded the third highest rate of increase in house prices in the EU during the third quarter of 2015. New figures by Eurostat show that prices here rose by 8.9%, just behind Austria on 9.3% and Sweden on 13.7%. Ruth Deasy of the EU Commission office in Dublin says even though the price rise is high, the rate is almost half of what it was for the same period in 2014.
Well, they show that the big explosion in prices happened a year ago and that the rate of increase has slowed down. And in autumn 2015, prices in Ireland were 8.9% higher than the same period the previous year, which is actually a lot less than if you go back 12 months beforehand. But there are one or two other countries where rises are even higher. For instance, Austria and Sweden are ahead of us.
The GlaxoSmithKline operation in Dungarvan, County Waterford, has been selected to represent Ireland at the European Business Environment Awards later this year. It follows from the company's success in winning the IBEC Environment Awards last weekend. GSK won the award after creating a special map to monitor and reduce carbon emissions. Kevin Meehan, who is engineering director with GSK, says the operation was rewarded for the way it reduced its carbon output in the Dungarvan area.
In 2014, we reduced our carbon footprint, our energy costs, and it was the equivalent of taking 234 cars off the road. You know, a million tons of CO2 is the equivalent of about 140,000 sterling. So, you know, it really makes quite a significant impact on our costs locally as well as the global impact.
University College Cork has been chosen to head up a major EU project to explore ways of providing vitamin D through food consumption. The university is one of 19 across the EU, as well as selected centres in the US, Switzerland and Ukraine, to benefit from a €6 million grant for the venture. Vitamin D is vital for bone development and is absorbed in the body through sunlight. However, people in the Northern Hemisphere have low levels. Professor Mairead Keeley of UCC, who is leading the research, says the major project will have three key objectives.
The first thing that we want to do in this project is to determine the actual level of vitamin D deficiency in the European population. And then our second objective is to determine the amount of vitamin D required in the diet to make up the gap between what we currently consume and what we require. And our third objective is to try and develop solutions for ordinary people who are consuming a very ordinary everyday diet.
The European Consumer Centre, ECC, is advising web users to double-check renewal terms on dating sites. The Irish ECC office says many young men and women pay to join sites but are unaware that their membership is automatically renewed at a financial cost. It says there is growth in young people signing up to dating sites in the run into St. Valentine's Day. Martina Nee of the European Consumer Centre in Dublin says members of such websites should check their terms and conditions pages.
Remember that when you shop online, you have the right to a cooling off period of 14 days where you can withdraw from a distance contract without having to give a reason. And if you wish to begin using the service within the 14-day period, you must make an express request to the trader. And if your membership's up for renewal around this time and you wish to cancel, follow the instructions on the terms and conditions and keep copies of correspondence or screenshots as proof of the cancellation request.
Mais a head simple, yeah, yeah. All is fucking yourself is far. Oh, yeah, man, let's be clear. Oh, yeah, you make him do, ooh, hey, bitchin' it, little bitch. They say all night, cause we did.
From the Netherlands, that's an artist called Ronnie Flex, and that's doing very, very nicely in the Dutch charts at the moment.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Brenda Castles is a very, very well-known Irish traditional musician based here in Dublin, and recently Brenda decided, after hearing of the plight of refugees on the Greek island of Lesbos, to give up our time to help in the humanitarian crisis that people are now beginning to compare with the Holocaust. Europe Today spoke to Brenda earlier to get a first-hand account of the tragedy that is now unfolding all over Europe. Brenda, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today. Brenda, can you tell us, first of all, how did you get involved in the situation that you're in now?
Well, I usually go away in January, February every year, and this year I was aware that this was happening just from social media, really from Facebook, and I thought, at first I thought I might go to Calais, and then looking more into it, Stephen Brown actually mentioned that there was a lot happening in Lesbos, so okay. I came to Lesbos about 10 days ago.
Right, okay, and I mean, had you known anything about the island beforehand, or...?
Nothing, actually, no. I knew, like everybody, probably kind of hazy information that, you know, I knew about the Syrian refugees, and it was big news in 2015. And then, of course, it can't be, you know, people get kind of immune to it because it's happening right all the time. And but I didn't know anything. I didn't know where it was. I hadn't really looked into where it was happening exactly until I decided to come out and do something myself.
Okay. And so just sort of describe what's going on at the moment, Brenda.
Well, it's mayhem, really. You know,
you're in. I don't know where you are now. I can hear some children there in the background.
I spend the mornings in a hotel which has agreed to let particularly vulnerable families stay for free. At the moment, I've just finished playing with the kids.
Right. Okay.
Waiting for a long time on this island to get off this island, so it just gives the families relief and gives the kids entertainment. You know, there's handicapped kids, there's older people, you know, there's 85-year-old women, and there's paraplegics and all sorts. So I'm in that hotel at the moment.
Okay, so it's a good cross section of people that are. And are the people that you're encountering, are they mainly Syrian, or where are they coming from?
There's quite a few. There's mainly Syrian, but there's also Afghanistan, and there's Moroccans as well.
Okay.
But the main seems to be Syrian.
Okay, and as regards the condition of people when they arrive on the island, I mean, can you describe what type of condition people are arriving in?
Well, you know, people are paying for boats. When they know they're going to arrive in Turkey, they're paying €1,000 a head to get on a boat. They're paying more for better boats. They're told they're going to be better boats. Often they're not. They're getting into these boats and they're sailing across from Turkey to Lesbos, which is, they're getting into these boats very wet because they're entering the water to get into the boat.
Yep.
And there may be, depending on the weather, it's snowing right now. Depending on the weather, they're getting splashed. The Turkish Coast Guard has been paid by the EU €3 million to stem the flow of migrants. So the Turkish Coast Guards are possibly trying to sink the boat if you're unlucky. So they're actually throwing water into the boats to try and sink them. When they get over here, then they have to get out into the water again. So they're like, it's like sitting in your freezing cold, wet clothes for 4 hours. A lot of them are hypothermic. I've seen some boats where they get out completely dry and happy, but a lot of boats, they're hypothermic. I've seen people in terrible conditions. And I've seen people in wheelchairs, your 85-year-old grannies are coming over like this. Nobody is getting to this island unless they're doing a boat journey like that.
Right, okay. And of course, I suppose they've already had some sort of a journey to get to
exactly.
before they get to Turkey. Anyway, they've already had.
There was a story of an Afghan man who was in Germany and went back to bring his girlfriend, and he travelled with her overland to the Turkish coast through waist-high snow for days to get to the Turkish coast.
And I suppose as well, people have to realise that when people are arriving, irrespective of the journey that they've had, it's quite possible that they may not be in a physical condition. I mean, we've all had toothaches and things like this. You know, I'm sure there must be sort of situations there where people are arriving in a very debilitating condition, not necessarily just from the journey, but just health-wise anyway. And we might take it for granted where you've got a toothache and you can go to the dentist. Obviously, this type of thing, you know, any sort of illness, they've had to endure over the course of the journey. So are you seeing that sort of situation as well?
Yes.
Where people are looking for immediate medical attention?
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, we've had a lot of deaths, and you're only seeing the deaths that are big enough numbers to be reported. The 44 that died the day before yesterday, that was reported. Nobody was reporting on the woman and child the woman and her dog that went for a walk and found the washed up body of a baby girl on the beach yesterday.
Right.
You know, so it's happening every day. So the medics are, you know, they are on the beaches. You know, they're actually on the beaches. There's a team of medics on all the beaches waiting for people to come on the boats. And we have binoculars, we have very sophisticated telescopes and watch out towers. So we know, we can often see the people on the Turkish coast being loaded onto the boats.
Right, okay.
So we're ready for them. The medics are waiting and they're doing their best. There's also, when they get onto the, when the people get onto the island, they're brought to a camp called Moriah. And that's where they have to get registered. They have to go there.
Okay.
It's very bad conditions. I was putting a family of five into a cell. It's an old prison, into a cell that was already full with 50 people, but there's nowhere else for them to go.
Okay.
And there's a team of medics there as well, and they're flat out.
And I presume, again, you're seeing, you know, children again in a sort of, okay, some of them might arrive over, they've had the turmoil of the sort of the actual journey itself, but then their poor little bodies, you know, they're only small kids as well, you know, having to deal with any sort of cramped conditions, and again, any other sort of I don't know, or dysentery, maybe lack of water or lack of food,
yeah,
over all the
sudden.
So are you seeing those type, what type of illnesses are you seeing when arriving?
I've seen the kids at different stages. I've seen, this morning I was on the beaches helping with the boat arrivals, and kids were cold. It's icy here today. The
right.
kids were freezing cold. They were crying and very distressed coming onto the shore.
Yeah,
Here, they're amazingly adaptable, honestly. You wouldn't believe it how amazing they are. Sometimes you can't believe what they've been through. Once they get warm clothes as soon as they arrive. We have systems in place where the wet clothes that are taken off refugees, there's a group called the Dirty Girls of Lesbos, they're washing the clothes and drying them and getting them out to the camps so that they can be put on the new arrivals.
Right,
So they're getting dry clothes. And the children, as long as they're in reasonable health, seem to be doing quite well. They're amazing.
Right.
There's obviously the exceptions and the sick ones as well. So.
And what do you say, Miranda? What do you say to people who are saying that this is primarily, a breeding ground for ISIS, that these are not really genuine refugees, that these are,
economic migrants.
Possibly economic migrants. They're also, ISIS intent on infiltrating, European countries and this type of idea. What do you say to people who have that type of perception of this whole humanitarian crisis?
Well, I think, the people that I'm seeing are people like you and me, to be honest with you. The Syrians are very educated. They have money. They're just like you and me. They can't stay there because ISIS, A, and B, because the countries like America, the UK, France are bombing them. So they have to leave. Where are they meant to go? We're closing our borders to them. Yes, of course, there's that possibility that ISIS might use it to get in to Europe. I don't know. I think they've already got people in Europe. They
possibly,
don't need
to
send people in boats, on this horrific journey pretending to be refugees. I really doubt it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and again, it's like a 5 or 6 year old child that's involved in this. I don't know if would be that.
I'm just watching my little friend that I've been playing with. She's about 5 years old. She's practically, she's absolutely gorgeous. She speaks a little tiny bit of English. She's really clever. Her name is Elena, and she's stuck here for 3 days so far. Her brother is in a wheelchair. Her brother's name is Ahmed.
Lovely.
And he needs more care than usual. So they're trying to get a better way to get to Europe, to travel onwards in Europe.
Okay, and is there other members of their family with them as well?
The big brother is amazing. At the moment, he's wheeling around the little girl. The rest of the time I see him, he's looking after Ahmed in his wheelchair. And Ahmed is really strong. He's a 12-year-old boy. He likes to throw things and break things and make noise with things. So he's a bit of a handful to be looking after in his own house, never mind on the road like this and on a dinghy coming across.
And is it just the children? Is there parents with them?
Parents are with them.
Okay.
Some single mothers on their own. Some, I've saw 6 siblings here. I thought it was a mother, father and 4 children, but it was actually 6 siblings. Don't know where mummy and daddy were, but you've got to wonder, you've got to think the worst, really. you know, there's all sorts of situations there.
Okay, right. And again, I mean, what would you like to see people doing in the immediate, you know, for now, this minute? What would be, if people want to help out?
I'd say donate money, okay. I suppose. The money can go to so many different, like I've been here about 10 days and I've worked on so many different projects. It can go as direct as buying shoes for them because their shoes are soaking and they get handed out shoes.
Right.
Or they, you know, it can go to the med. It can go to, there's a lot of projects on the beaches. They're trying to build centres where, you know, very basic centres, like tents usually, where they come in, you know, they have their change of clothes. The privacy is an issue in this culture as well. The women need to be separate from the men.
Right.
That sort of thing, you know. So there's all sorts of places the money can go. Also sending boxes of shoes, toys. Look up online what's needed and send over actual physical donations. If you're clearing out your house or your presses, you know, that can help as well. And we have a lot. The warehouses, there is. It's constantly coming in, but it's constantly going out as well.
Okay. Brenda, just another thing I was going to ask you as well. Do you see any evidence of activity by the organisation known as Frontex?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about their role, what their role they're playing there on the island?
Well, Frontex are the EU boats, as far as I know, and they are not allowed in the Turkish waters. So halfway across, or whatever distance across between Lesbos and Turkey, you get the Greek waters, and then the other side is the Turkish waters.
Right.
And Frontex are not allowed to patrol the Turkish waters, which makes everything a bit difficult to control in Turkey.
Okay.
Now, there's not that many Frontex boats, but the EU are paying for more Frontex boats, I believe, to try and stop the refugees.
Well, that's what I wanted to know. In their capacity as border patrol, or when the boats are there, are they sending the refugees back into Turkey, or are they guiding them onto the island?
I haven't seen, the Greek coast guards are amazing. They're guiding the boats on, but not, Frontex aren't doing that, no.
Okay.
I'm not actually sure what happens. I'll have to have a look at that. I have seen the Frontex boats going around, but they definitely don't help.
Okay.
And they're patrolling the junction of the waters there. And I think if they see the boats, if you're caught by Frontex, you're turned back.
Okay,
as
so
far as I know.
Their,
I'll have to look that up.
Their capacity, as far as you can see at the moment, is a deterrent to anybody arriving on the island that you're on at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Brenda, for people that want to get involved in the right now, immediately, what exactly can they do?
Well, if you want to donate money, you can go to my fundraising page, which is at youcaring.com, youcaring.com. If you search in the search bar there for my name, Brenda Castles, which is Castles, then my page comes up. It's the Syrian Refugee Crisis funded page. So you can donate that way. Alternatively, you can send donations of clothes, shoes. You can look up online what's needed at the moment, and that can help to keep our warehouses moving with stock.
Great stuff. And they can also find you on your own Facebook page, which is Brenda Castles Facebook.
It's Brenda Castles. There's only about five of them, so so I'm there. You can see my picture. I'm actually in Lesbos on my Facebook profile picture. Awareness is as important as money, because people are burying their head in the sand, I think, and people have to realise that this is on the same level as the Holocaust. It literally is. We are living through a similar situation, and I can't live with myself, you know, if we don't do something about this.
Okay. Brenda, listen, keep up the good work there, and as I said, what we can do at the moment is create some public awareness about, we know there's a million things going on, but for the moment we're dealing with yourself. So Brenda Castles, a traditional Irish musician extraordinaire and wonderful humanitarian, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today.
Thank you, John.
Così sono partito per un lungo viaggio, lontano dagli errori e dagli sbagli che ho commesso. Ho visitato luoghi per non doverti rivedere, e più mi allontanavo e più sentivo di star bene. E nevicava molto, però io camminavo, a volte ho acceso un fuoco per il freddo e ti pensavo, sognando ad occhi aperti sul ponte di un traghetto.
Credevo di vedere dentro il mare il tuo riflesso. Le luci dentro al porto sembravano lontane, ed io che mi sentivo felice di approdare. E mi cambiava il volto, la barba mi cresceva, trascorsi giorni interi senza dire una parola. E quanto avrei voluto in quell'istante che ci fosse, perché ti voglio bene veramente. E non esiste un luogo dove non mi torni in mente. Avrei voluto averti veramente e non sentirmi dire che non posso farci niente. Avrei trovato molte più risposte se avessi chiesto a te, ma non fa niente. Non posso farlo ora che sei così lontana. Mi sentirei di dirti che il viaggio cambia un uomo e il punto di partenza sembra ormai così lontano. La meta non è un posto, ma è quello che proviamo. E non sappiamo dove né quando ci arriviamo. Trascorsi giorni interi senza dire una parola. Credevo che fossi davvero lontana. Sapessimo prima di quando partiamo che il senso del viaggio è la meta e il richiamo. Perché ti voglio bene.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's, folks. Again, I want to say a very, very special thank you to Brenda Castles from the island of Lesbos in Greece. We'll put up links to Brenda's fundraising project on our website, europetoday.ie. If you want to get in contact with the programme, give us a ring, 865-8020, that's 865-8020, or you can text us on 087-977-1032. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week and your programme, Europe Today.